The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to the author of a book called Telos, T-E-L-O-S, The Scientific Basis for Life of Purpose, Stephen Iacoboni, the oncologist, scientist who wrote that book. You were just talking before the break about the miracle, I don't know how else people can view it, of, you say, a three-inch long salmon fry. In other words, we're talking about a newborn salmon that travels how far?
8,000 miles. 8,000 miles in the ocean. Then there's no navigation.
8,000 miles seems somehow to know where to go. It's mind-bending.
They do know where to go.
And the book we were talking about, it's called Animal Algorithms. Somebody, Eric Castle, is that it? From the Discovery Institute. Yeah. Astonishing. But it gets to your point. Science says, oh, that's just instinct. And you think, well, what's instinct? What do you mean? It has a brain the size of a grain of sand. And how does it navigate? A human being would have trouble pulling this off, and our brain is vast. So logically, you'd say it seems to have been designed to do this. It seems to have been designed by someone for this purpose.
Exactly. So the first chapter, there's several examples like that. Just to get the reader comfortable with the fact that I'm going to talk about down-to-earth things that they can relate to. And then I reveal to them, you may think that science has explained this. They have not. They do not have the slightest idea how this happens. They are misleading you. And so I said, but what we do know is what Aristotle knew 2,400 years ago, which was, everything is purpose-driven. Everything in life is purpose-driven. The only creatures who sometimes do things that aren't purpose-driven are domesticated animals and humans. But if you go out into the wild, animals are always doing what they have to do to survive. Creatures at the top of the food chain, like lions, can sleep in the meadow for a while between kills, but everything else is constantly doing what it needs to do. If you watch an ant scurry around and find a grain of food and then come back and bring it to the hive, I mean the anthill, how big is an ant brain? They don't even have brains, but they have a little cluster of cells in their belly. You know that they recently conceded something that has been studied for 50 years. When bees are sitting in a hive, they send out explorer bees to find a bunch of flowers somewhere a mile away. And the bees come back and they dance around. They do a jig that's so complicated that we can't figure it out. They finally figured out that the other bees can look at what the bee is doing and know where the dandelions are to go get their nectar.
I think that's in Animal Algorithms.
Yeah.
It is so astonishing. It is very hard for us to process. It's the most astonishing stuff, and it's just more evidence. I mean, there's tons of evidence in every direction, but this is just one type of evidence that I think if you're honest, you say it doesn't make any sense that these things are the product of random processes, that somehow over time these creatures evolved not just to be what they are, but to do what they do. It doesn't make sense. We don't have the time. I mean, if we had trillions of years of evolution, you could talk about it, but not with millions.
Right. And so what's very interesting is that the astrophysicists like Stephen Hawking and Martin Rees, They're the really smart scientists. And so they notice that the biologists have taken over the narrative of the most important question ever asked by a scientist. And so the astrophysicists, the really smart guys, said, wait a minute, we want to comment on this. And so Stephen Hawking, Leonard Susskind, Martin Rees, to a man, the great astrophysicists, and of course Polkinghorne. Polkinghorne actually conceded theism. He's actually one of my favorite authors, astrophysicist. But the other three have said, the biologists are stupid. This is crazy. This is impossible. And they're the smart, and they're still atheists. So they're saying, you guys have got it all wrong. You biologists can't do math. You know, that's our job, and we've done the math, and it's impossible, like Tuer says.
Well, wait a minute. You mean, so you're saying that even these atheistic physicists look at animal behavior and this kind of thing and or all this stuff, and they know, based on the numbers, this can't happen randomly. There's not a chance. They say that. They know that. Polkinghorne, whom I've had the pleasure of meeting a number of times, was a Christian. I had him speak at Socrates in the City. I mean, he was a Christian and a top scientist in the world at Cambridge. But you're saying that even those who weren't men of faith nonetheless knew that there's just no way that the material world can account for what we see in biology.
It's in print. Stephen Hawking, Leonard Susskind, Martin Rees. Martin Rees wrote a book called Just Six Numbers, and you address this in your book. And Stephen Hawking, of course, probably the most famous or well-known astrophysicist, they all came to the same conclusion. None of this could have happened randomly. And so what they do is they do the most unscientific thing you can do. They invoke something like Maxwell demons. In other words, they invoke something unobservable. They invoke other universes, which is the greatest oxymoron ever uttered by a human. And they stick to their atheism because they're not allowed to leave the reservation. But even Hawking in his book, and Rees, it's kind of embarrassing, who's an Anglican bishop, says, I still believe there are 10 to the 500 universes, and there really isn't a God. It's embarrassing to see someone of that stature write something like that.
Look, it's funny. you get to a point where if you're honest about it, it's hilarious. They have no evidence. They claim to be scientists, but they go beyond science into the world of sheer speculation because where the science leads them and where the math leads them is too painful. They don't dare face it. So they invent something. It's deus ex machina. It makes the flying spaghetti monster look logical, frankly. But it is kind of amazing. Well, so what else do you talk about in the book Telos?
Well, first I deconstruct the myth that things are random. Well, first I talk about how we started out with telos, embraced by science until other intellectuals who formed modern science, Descartes and Newton, decided that telos was too complicated. And when Aquinas and Aristotle tried to talk about why there is a leaf, they couldn't understand it. And they said, life is too complicated. Humans can only understand the inanimate world. And organisms are alive because they have a spirit. I mean, that's what everyone believed. And when Darwin said, we don't have a spirit, and then Watson and Crick said, it's all chemical, then everything built up on that because they had an ulterior motive to replace God on the altar of the people who know everything. And so these scientists have misled us. They are not honest, as you said, and we're suffering from it in many ways that you see in our society today.
It's just interesting to me that you come at this from the point of view of a doctor. In other words, that your compassion for your patients led you to dig deeper and then to kick against this this false paradigm. So did you pay a price? Have you paid a price in your field? Or are you just so good at what you do that they let you alone?
I'm glad you asked that. I wasn't sure if it was going to come up. I address that in the book. It explains why I'm sitting in this beautiful little hospital in the middle of nowhere, because it's the only hospital in Oregon that is not under the umbrella of a larger organization. I get to do what I want. I actually finally left the reservation on my own, and I am now one of the top integrative oncologists in the country. I studied under some of the great integrative oncologists. I ran a cancer center in Tijuana for 2 years, and there you can do research that doesn't require the FDA's approval. And so I have a few vignettes in my book about patients who I cured, because the paradigm in oncology is lots of expensive drugs no matter what, and it's not all that necessary. You have to understand that everything that's in the pharmacopoeia has to be patentable. And so, but the thing is that things that come from plants can't be patented, so they're discarded.
And
so that's
in
my book.
We're going to continue talking about how to cure cancer with Stephen Iacoboni, the author of Telos.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Improve your memory with award-winning VivaLore memory support. VivaLore's founder prayed God would show her the solution to memory loss when her mom was devastated by dementia. Divine encounters, faith, and her background as a pharmacist led Susan Gibson to create VivaLore memory support. VivaLore is a premium quality supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplements. VivaLore has won numerous awards, and a customer independently wrote 3 books about it. Visit VivaLore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements. VivaLore has helped those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss, and it can help you. VivaLore has many brain-fortifying nutrients to help focus and memory. Don't wait until your memory slips. Invest in your memory now. VivaLore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R. Get 30% off with code ERIC. Memories are real treasures. Keep yours. Help us pray for miraculous healings that give God glory. VivaLore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com, and use code ERIC. VivaLore.com, use the code ERIC. Hey, folks, we're talking to the author of Telos, The Scientific Basis for a Life of Purpose, Dr. Stephen Iacoboni. Two things you just mentioned that I want you to touch on. First of all, you mentioned that, going down to Tijuana, where you were able to kind of do your own thing, you were able to try things that might work in curing cancer and to experiment and so on and so forth. Were you able to bring any of those things that you discovered there back into the States, into what you do today?
I have been able to, and it's important to understand that as a practicing oncologist, you can't just be like a naturopath and do what you think you want to do. We have different governance. So I had to have data to show that what I was doing was at least non-harmful and possibly effective. And so I write in the book several vignettes of patients who had incurable disease who I either put in remission or cured, and only because, I believe, only because of my protocol. Now, cancer medicine is complicated, and you can't just throw things at patients, and so I only treat patients in this way in a very select setting where they have failed the standard of care and they want something more. But at least if I were to really do a scientific study, I would need to be at a university where I would have 500 patients to do the gather enough data. But my point was that in oncology, when the expensive drugs went off patent, they just made more expensive drugs. And oncologists, we walk on thin ice every day, and we give people drugs that could kill them. And so the average oncologist's only defense against not going crazy with a job like that is they follow the algorithm. And then no matter what happens, they follow the algorithm. And if you die, you die. Now, that sounds very cynical, and I don't think oncologists are like that. But the point is, they're very reluctant to deviate from anything. And so, yes, I got in a lot of trouble for that. In fact, not what you call serious trouble, but I was ostracized by others who didn't feel that way. And when I work with other people, they didn't like it and it made them uncomfortable. And I said, well, the patient's going to die. Can't we try something? And one of the things that Trump did that I thought was great was to let them try thing that he instituted, meaning you're dying and you want to try something else. How can you deny experimental care to these people? And that's basically what I do in a very select small number of patients.
Well, you dared to care.
That's exactly
what Trump did. I remember when he was talking about that. And of course, it's common sense. You talk to anybody and that they would say, well, of course, someone's dying. Let's try anything. If there's a chance it could work, let's try it. So I'm glad you did that. I want to talk to you also about maybe you referred to it earlier, but that you've had end-of-life experiences with some of your patients. Anything bordering on the miraculous or anything like that that you can talk about?
I haven't seen – I get asked that question a lot, and I have not seen someone who is – really, really, really supposed to die who didn't die. I have had patients who have had a 5% chance of surviving who survived. But in medicine, we call that, okay, that's the 1 out of 20. The great miracles that I saw were miracles of faith. Since we're talking about Ukraine every day now, I had a patient who was a farmer in Ukraine in 1995 who ate radioactive wheat after the Chernobyl explosion, and he got leukemia. And he went to a local clinic, and they said, you're going to die. And as it happened in Walla Walla, I was in the district of Tom Foley, who at the time was Speaker of the House. Out of his district was Spokane and went down to Walla Walla. And there was a small Ukrainian community of Seventh-day Adventists in Walla Walla, and Foley got this guy brought over from Kiev to Walla Walla, and I treated him, and it was the most impactful experience of my life, other than with my parents, of course, and my children. This was a man with no food, no money, shabby clothes, and he was the bravest, happiest man of all, and he showed me how to die, and I write about that in the other book. That's the kind of thing that changes your life.
So this book, of course, is called Telos. The previous book is The Undying Soul. What progress do you think we're making? In other words, when you talk about these kinds of things, I'm guessing that there are many, many scientists and doctors out there. Maybe they don't share the faith that you and I do, but they have similar questions. They're frustrated by the system, by the protocols, by being forced to follow the algorithms. What hope do you see? In other words, you've dealt with the folks at the Discovery Institute. You know that there are answers and there are things out there, but is any of this getting out?
Actually, most of my colleagues run away from this, and it's kind of sad. Their comfort zone is, here's the algorithm, push the button, and the nurses and the pharmacists do all the work, and you take all the credit. In fact, I even say to my colleagues when I become innovative, I say, I could get a high school student who knows how to push buttons, because when I order chemotherapy now, I just push buttons on a computer. Now, it's true that I have to think about it, and it's not random. I have to pick the protocol. But this algorithm says what protocol to use, what doses to use, and you should say, give this chemo. And the pharmacist and the nurse could do all of it, and yet they need our license in order to okay it. And so it makes it possible to see twice as many patients in a day as you should. One of the things I've done in my alternative practice, or my integrative practice, is I interview patients who are seeing other oncologists. You know, I see my patients, I spend 30 minutes a week, every week, with most of my patients. And a lot of these patients will come in and say, I see my oncologist for 5 minutes once a month. I come in, they walk in the room like they're in a big hurry and I'm not important. They say, everything looks good, how are you today? Okay, we're going to go ahead, see you in 3 weeks. And then all of the care beyond that goes to the nurse practitioner, the pharmacist, the nurses. It's kind of sad, but that's the business model. Not where I'm at.
Right. And I think, again, most people, this is the world of science. This is the world of human beings. Most people are going to take the safe path, the broad road that leads to destruction. But I know that there are always people out there, probably some listening right now, whose interest is piqued, who says, I've been thinking this. Maybe I should talk to this guy. Maybe I should read his book. Because I really do think that, generally speaking, we know that people are not encouraged to talk about this kind of thing, but they think it secretly, that there are people out there, they may never reveal it, but they're wondering, and maybe the reason they're so bound up is because they don't feel there's anything they can say or anywhere they can go. It's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, because you've been a very successful oncologist for decades. You thought outside the box. You've thought inside the box. You've come to some conclusions which I think would at least be of value to some people. When we've just got a few minutes left, when did you was there a moment when you knew you had come to faith from what you had read and studied, or was it a gradual thing?
Great question. You know, in Francis Collins's book, he talks about having an epiphany while walking through the Cascades. And in my book, The Undying Soul, I talk about how it took me many years, because I'm so stubborn and was so entrenched. And I think for most, and the point of that was to make was, you're not typically going to have an epiphany. It's a struggle to overcome the brainwashing and the conditioning that you've had and the pressures of society. It took a lot of time and struggle for me to come to that point. But that's okay, because it's like, if you get up one morning and say, I want to run a marathon, you don't do it in a week. It takes a year to condition for something like that. And so the journey to faith requires effort and time, and that's the whole beauty of it, like anything that you accomplish.
I want to ask you just about your relationship with others in the scientific community. Is that mostly Discovery Institute people or whatever? Because it's so important that you know, people are on this page, have colleagues and have people that they can share these thoughts with.
So I'm actually very closely aligned with Discovery. I'm a sustaining member. I have very erudite email conversations every week. I'm on one of their advisory boards. And I have to say, I've been a fan of Discovery since Jonathan Wells and Stephen Meyer started a long time ago. And I've met both of them, and they're fantastic. But it has really, really helped me. I have to say that they are – I'm a huge fan of theirs and a supporter, and it's a wonderful organization.
I want to drag you over for one more segment. Folks, don't go away. Talking to the author of Telos.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the three-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
Folks, I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Dr. Stephen Iacoboni, who's the author of Telos, The Scientific Basis for a Life of Purpose. Just a few minutes left, I'm sorry to say, but there's a chapter in your book called Robert Rosen, chapter 15, Once in a Thousand Years. What is that about?
When I was making my long, slow struggle up the mountain from atheism, the atheism gorge up to the heights of faith, I was driven to read authorities, and especially people who weren't just talking the standard stuff after I'd read all those things and found them wanting. And I think by providence, I saw a reference in the back of one of my books about this guy, Robert Rosen. And somebody wrote an article about him saying he's the kind of scientist that comes along once in a thousand years. He was a mathematician, not a biologist. And I was not a biologist. I was a chemist when I went into medical school. And so when you come into biology as a non-biologist, you don't have these preconceived biases. And Rosen, who's actually an avowed, was, he passed 10 years ago, but he is an avowed agnostic. But he said that Darwin's natural selection just can't make any possible sense scientifically or rationally. And he was the one who basically said, in order to explain life, you have to invoke telos, you have to invoke final cause. And so he tried the rest of his life to prove that that could be contained in a materialist, mechanistic framework, and he failed. And the reason he failed, because it's the same as the square peg in the round hole. So I'm trying to finish his work by saying telos comes from God, and you can never get to life. Understanding the origin of life, why butterflies migrate, why people reproduce, why we all want to get up and live every day, without understanding that life is purpose-driven and there is a force, an invisible force of attraction that drives every single creature to fulfill its function, its desired end. And after this talk, I would like listeners to go outside and watch a bird, watch a worm, watch your dog, watch any creature in the wild, and you will see it is busy living. It is busy fulfilling purpose. And that is what telos is. It's real, and we have to acknowledge it, but it can never be encompassed in a materialist framework. It virtually proves the existence of God.
Well, it's interesting, because I think if you're honest, it does prove the existence of God, but there are people that they're just not willing to be that honest. But when you talk about telos in that sense and purpose, there's two pieces to it, right? In other words, the idea is that we could not have emerged unless God intended. So we are God's intention. He intended for us to exist. It seems obvious when you do the math, when you do the science, we didn't just get here randomly. So God is the one behind that. But then what we haven't talked about is the idea that we have purpose, and that without purpose, you know, we want to die. Viktor Frankl writes about that somehow inside each of us is a longing for meaning and purpose and love. And it's not deniable. You can try to deny it, but you can't deny it. And atheism just shuts it off. Boom. It says, no, that's a figment of your imagination. But I think anybody who's honest says that, no, I'm made for more. I'm just not made to exist and die. So you're leaning up against that metaphysical stuff on the other hand, right? That even though life comes into being as a result of God's purpose, because he makes us in his image, we long for purpose and meaning.
When I was 6 years old in Catholic school, I was taught that Adam took the apple from the tree of knowledge, and for that he was punished. And we were in school being taught to learn things. I asked the nun, why was he being punished for seeking knowledge? And she didn't have a good answer. It took me 40 years to answer that question. The knowledge is owned by God, and you can sit at the tree of knowledge, but understand that it's God's knowledge. What Adam did, either really did or as a metaphor, is what scientists have done today. They've taken the knowledge of the tree of life and they've called it their own. And for that, we are cast out of paradise. But they don't want to acknowledge that error because it's such an egregious error that they're stuck with it. And their whole lives and their professionalism depends on it. Richard Dawkins isn't going to come around and say what Anthony Flew did. Anthony Flew is towards the end of his life, and he was one of the few honest atheists, and you reference him in your book. He said, okay, there is a God. And it's, of course, wonderful that he did that, and I quote him in my book as well. And so they're stuck in that paradigm. People don't leave their paradigms. In science, they don't. Einstein was called a fool. A lot of people don't realize that the whole theory of tectonic plates that we all, of course, understand now was introduced in the 60s, not 200 years ago.
I learned that they called the guy an idiot. I learned that in the course
and
of writing my book, actually. I was kind of amazed that we've only known about tectonic plates since my lifetime. And if you don't understand tectonic plates, you kind of wonder, why do we have mountains when water is eroding them? And it's just a part of the larger mystery. Everywhere we look, we see evidence for God, and of course, if you come up with something new, people are going to try to take you down a peg because they don't like it. I'm just so happy that we've had this time. Congratulations on the book, Telos, The Scientific Basis for a Life of Purpose, Dr. Stephen Iacoboni. To be continued, I hope. Thank you.
Great pleasure, Eric. Real privilege. Thank you very much.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, regularly priced at $89.98, is now only $39.98 with our listener promo code ERIC. Order now because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable. They've got a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC or just go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use the promo code ERIC. The offer will not last very long because these Percale sheets are known to sell very quickly. Order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC.
Was going out. Hey, folks, we're going to do a segment here, a little segment that we like to call A Listener Writes, because people who listen to this program or watch this program do write in.
Yeah.
We read everything, and some of the letters are charming and friendly and encouraging. Some of them are just peevish and nasty. It's amazing how many peevish, nasty people are out there and take the trouble. I guess they have nothing else to do to just bring you down a little bit. But now and again, we get, more often than not, we get wonderful letters. And we had one, I said, why don't we read this one, Albin? Because people probably want to know what I have to read. on a daily basis. So this one,
that's right.
Actually, no, this is funny. This is good.
Yeah.
This one, a woman named Lynn writes in and she says the question, I mean, sorry, the subject header is, it says Martin Luther, but she puts in his original name. I mean, back in the 15th century, the name was Luther or Lutger or you know, Luther was what it became eventually.
See, I did not know that. I thought she had you know, mistyped,
right,
she might say.
Well, that's because you didn't read my book.
I didn't.
Which makes you a communist.
No, but I did read it.
Okay.
I missed that.
Yeah, I know. It's, okay. But so this person, Lynn, writes, Eric, you signed a huge stack of your various books for me at Calvary Chapel in Chattanooga last spring. It was a pleasure seeing and hearing you. I'm reading your Martin Luther book right now, and it is blowing me away. Now, I do have to say, people really, really love the Martin Luther book, and I think I'm particularly proud of it, of all the books that I have written, for many reasons. But there's just something about it which I won't go into. But it makes me very happy that people, you know, are seeing it as kind of the definitive biography on him, which I think it is in some ways, so only because
he lived in crazy times, and that's why it's so much fun to read about the times and the man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so this woman writes, I'm reading a Martin Luther book right now. It's blowing me away. The book is so interesting, like all your others. Thank you so much for writing it. Okay, then she says, I just got off a six-week job for a, now I can't mention the name, but a major
magazine
shoot, okay, photo shoot. One of the videographers' names was Martin. I asked him who he was named for, and his response was a very disdainful, I'm certainly not named for Martin Luther. Now, I don't know, maybe he was Catholic or something, I don't know, but he says, I certainly wasn't named for Martin Luther. And then he added, probably my parents named me after Martin Luther King. And now this woman, Lynn, says, I knew that was not true because of his age. And the world of 1953, where I guess he was born in that era, and I was able to innocently ask him if he realized, are you ready for the punchline, that Martin Luther King was named after Martin Luther. Now, that is in the beginning of my book. That's one of the many shocking revelations you'll read in my Martin Luther book. There, now, I joke, but it's actually true. I uncovered a handful of things that, and this happens almost every time I write a book, that I am myself just astonished that I discovered something that no one had seen before. In the Is Atheism Dead book, there are several of those. But in the Martin Luther book, there were a few things that I was genuinely astonished, because Martin Luther, you know, it's like Abraham Lincoln. How many people have written about Martin Luther? This is such a major figure. So I discovered a number of things, but one of them was, which is what this woman Lynn is alluding to, that Martin Luther King Jr. and his father, Martin Luther King Sr., they changed their names. Their names were Michael King and Michael King Jr. And Michael King Sr. in the 1930s went to, on a trip to the Holy Land on the way back, it was a bunch of black Baptist pastors, went to the Holy Land in the 30s and then went to Germany. And he was so impressed by the life of Martin Luther that he changed his name as an adult from Michael King to Martin Luther King. And his son, around age 12, I think, followed suit and changed his name to Martin Luther King Jr. It's amazing. And people called Martin Luther King Jr., MLK, they called him Mike. People who grew up with him always called him Mike. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this woman writes in, I tried to explain to this guy on the photo shoot about Martin Luther King Jr.'s father changing his name. But the guy was so confused by then, he didn't know what to say. It can be confusing if you really don't like Martin Luther and you think, well, but I was named after Martin Luther King Jr., and then you find out, oh, that's a problem. So this is called ironic.
Yeah.
Personally, though this is the writer Lynn, had heard of Martin Luther my entire life, I realize now I knew absolutely nothing about this brave man who changed the course of the world and Christianity. The book is so interesting. Thank you so much for writing it, Lynn. Now, I just want to say again, it means a lot to me when anybody writes in, and we're still at a point when where I'm able to read everything that people write in. So I don't want to encourage you to write in, because then maybe I won't be able to read everything because it's getting tough. But I do, every now and again, we're able to respond, or I respond. And yeah. But when I... I think what the takeaway for me from this was that, you know, when you write these books, you put them out there and you never know when somebody's going to pick it up and read it. I mean, this book came out in 2017 for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And I hope for decades to come, people will continue to read about the great Martin Luther, because I as I said, there are things in the book that there aren't in any other books. And I'm really proud of having ferreted out these essentially important details. So I should mention, you know, before we close, if you want to buy any of my books, almost all of them are available at mystore.com. You click under books. Almost all of my books, the Donald books, the kids books, the humor books, the Donald Drains the Swamp books, the Donald the Caveman books, all that stuff is at mystore.com. Use the code Eric and get a whopping discount. All right, that concludes this portion of A Listener Writes. Thank you, Lynn, from Chattanooga.
There's a must-see new movie on salemnow.com called Michelle Obama 2024, Her Real-Life Story and Plan for Power. Film director Joel Gilbert takes a deep dive into the life of Michelle Obama from Chicago to Princeton to Martha's Vineyard. He says Michelle Obama will run for president in 2024 and base her candidacy on a life story that is more racially divisive and nearly as fictitious as that of her husband, Barack. Check out the stunning new movie on Salem Now, Michelle Obama 2024. Michelle is following the same formula as Barack to become president, a best-selling autobiography, the keynote convention speaker, and a voter registration organization. First Barack and now Michelle Obama want to transform America. Michelle Obama 2024, now playing at salemnow.com. This new movie has stunning, game-changing revelations about Michelle Obama's past. The film director says only the truth can stop her. Michelle Obama 2024, watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com, Michelle Obama 2024, check it out. Hey there, folks. Welcome back. I'm excited right now. You know that on this program, we're doing a fundraiser for Food for the Poor. But I said, you know, I want to bring somebody on who's part of the Salem Radio Network, who's part of the brass, my friend Tom Tradup. He's the vice president of news and talk programming. But Tom, you have a relationship with Food for the Poor. You understand why I'm going out on a limb and asking my listeners to reach into their pockets for God's purposes. So I wanted you to help us understand it in a way that I can't really myself communicate successfully. So what do you know about this that I wouldn't know?
Well, first off, thank you for having me on the show. I'm in the fortress of Metaxas. We've got the mic flag. We've got the travel bag. You know, we're here pushing the Eric Metaxas show every time we get.
Now, by the way, if you go to MetaxasTalk.com, ladies and gentlemen, you have access to all this swag, all this incredible product. If you go to MetaxasTalk.com, you'll see it. But we want you to go to MetaxasTalk.com, at least today in part, to click on the banner to help people who are suffering.
That's right.
Because of evil men around the world, there's suffering. And if you go to MetaxasTalk.com, you'll click on the banner. But go ahead, Tom Tradup, and tell us more.
Well, thank you, Eric. You know, Food for the Poor is a nonprofit organization. They're based in Coconut Creek, Florida. We've worked with them for over a dozen years, and they help the poorest of the poor in 17 nations here in the Western Hemisphere. And I've traveled with them to Guatemala, to Haiti, to a number of other countries with them and actually seen their work on the ground. They're absolutely the best in the business. Their overhead is the smallest in the business. So every dollar you give really goes directly to help the poor. We've expanded because of the war in Ukraine. And regardless of what people think, and you know, I've heard the debates back and forth. Some of our talk show hosts, when we started the campaign, were like, why do I want to get any money for people that are refugees in Ukraine when we're paying $7 a gallon for gas here in California? Well, it's true. America's got problems and we all have to pay the light bill and we all have, you know, personal issues. But when you think about the children who have been displaced. There are over 500,000 Ukrainian children who've been separated from their parents. Usually the dad had to stay behind in order to fight in the war, so they were just with their mom, but now they've been separated from their moms. And if you had a 12-year-old child, either your child or your grandchild, and they were alone in a scary place, a bomb shelter, or in a foreign country where somebody's, you know, playing host to them, you would want people, just like the men and women listening to the Eric Metaxas show and watching you right now, to open up your hearts and your wallets and help. And the fact is that because of Food for the Poor's donations, they already have a ton of food donated through themselves and their ministry partners. $1 delivers 4 meals to refugees in Ukraine. $2 delivers 8. You know, you do the math. You can figure it out. A $10 or $20 contribution, $1,000 would be fabulous. Thank you very much. But we're here simply to ask you to think a little bit outside yourself. So many things going on in the world that are scary and crazy, like the Mar-a-Lago raid that you've been talking about, Eric. I know it's a tough time for a lot of people in this economy, but we are asking you to maybe dig deep, think a little bit outside yourself. We've all done it. I've been on trips with Food for the Poor, and as I said, seen them up close and personal. When you call Eric's number, which is 844-863-4673, or to make it easier, it's 844-863-HOPE, because you're giving hope to these children overseas. You are really being the hands and feet of Jesus, as we're called to. Eric was wise to mention that. We're called to help the poorest of the poor, and there's nobody who does it better than Food for the Poor.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.